iRockRadio.me. It is Jay Hunter. I am joined by the former singer, songwriter, guitarist of the band Sick Puppy, is now rejuvenated and out on his own with his debut album. I'm talking about Mr. Shim Moore. How are you, buddy?
Good, mate. How you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. How's the tour been? You're out with Madam Mayhem?
It's definitely the most fun tour that I've had in my life. We're starting back at ground zero. We are playing, selling these clubs out and just playing like punk rock shows. I told the guys booking and I was like, you know, I don't want to go back. I want to go back to some of the places that the Puppies played, but I don't want to go just and do what I did before. I'm like, let's find some cool punk rock clubs and really start a ground level scene. The band is amazing. The band's the best band in rock and roll. You know, I can throw a James Brown lick in. They can follow it.
Sweet.
I can change songs up. They can follow it.
It's great to have a band that kind of that.
Oh yeah.
Gels just
yeah.
like that.
It's we're off one another. We've only been doing. I mean, we're the third week into the first tour, and it's already. It's just significantly clear that this band is going to be something that other bands are going to be jealous of, which was the whole point. And wonderful. I'm not shy about it because I played with Papa Roach and I played with Shinedown, the best right, bands right. in rock and roll. You go on stage and you watch them and you're like, damn, we need to practice. So that's what this band's yeah. going to be now.
Well, we're certainly not going to dwell on it, but it has been 4 years now since leaving Sick Puppies. Now, how long was it after you left that you started, getting up off your ass and saying, hey, you know what?
I never stopped writing songs. I'm always writing. Some of the songs that are on my new solo record that's just called Shim is, I think one of them was written right when the band was breaking up, and then I was writing the whole time. But the decision to go solo took me a couple years because I tried to put another band together just because I was being a little bitch. I was like, I don't want to do a solo thing. I don't want to deal with all the stress and the responsibility. I'm like, I'm used to being in a band. I've only ever been in one band. I started Sick Puppies. I named the band when I was like 16, 15. I'm like, I know how to be in a band. I don't want to be by myself. Gotcha. So I was like, so it took me, and then I started a band with these people who turned out I made the wrong choice of who to work with. And it just sort of dissolved into a non-event. And then a year of my life had gone by of trying to start a band. And I realized, I'm like, I don't have that kind of time left. I'm lucky. I've already sold a couple million records. I've already got a bunch of fans waiting to see what I'm going to do. You know, I don't have time to make this many mistakes. I have to get my shit together and get my album finished.
And you've learned from the mistakes that you've made.
Oh, I'm still making mistakes every day. And I talk to the band that I've hired. They're hired guns technically, but I made it very clear. I'm like, I don't want a revolving door situation like a lot of solo artists have where every tour there's a different drummer. I'm like, no, I want my guys that have a chemistry that know how, you know, the Shim record sounds the way that it does, and then the live show is a whole new level.
You've mentioned, not only on your website, but also on social media, and I'm going to try to get the quote. I tried to get the quote on spot on. But you said, when making music, the difference between good and great music is blood.
Yeah.
And then you said there's a lot of blood on this.
Yes.
Or on the record.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on the blood? Was it more like time spent in it, or was it pain, or was it emotion, or like
it was what? Emotion. There was, I mean, it was time spent, and it was methodical, and it was like, I don't know how to describe it, but it was like the fact that I went to Guitar Center and bought a whole bunch of gear that I returned 44 days later to make the record is a good example of the fact that I just, you know. One of the best pieces of advice I was given by my godfather when I was younger was you can't fail if you do whatever it takes. It's logically impossible to fail if you do whatever it takes to succeed. You just don't know what it will be until you get there. So if you look at the situation and you say, oh, this is what I have to do at this moment to succeed. And at that time, it was to go and max out my credit card and buy a bunch of stuff from Guitar Center that I knew I would return, make my album in 44 days. That was what was necessary. But it's at the same time, I was like, I knew I had a bunch of people coming to me. And that's the crux of that quote about blood on the record was from my producer, because it was also, he had learned it, which is very humbling that I was able to work with someone who had had this level of experience. But he had worked with the guy who, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name, but the guy that produced American Idiot. Okay. So Green Day historically had made an album and delivered it to the label, and the label said, well, we can put it out, but it really just sounds like just more Green Day. You know, maybe you guys need to go back and try a little harder. And so they went back and they decided, all right, well, what if we tried to achieve greatness? And they wrote American Idiot. and they set a goal and a bar for themselves. And the reason that I found out, I came to understand, because my producer was interning, engineering, assistant producing on some of those songs sometimes. And the reason that the cover of that album is a grenade with blood is because that was the mantra. It was, if you want to make something great, you have to bleed on it.
Oh,
and that's okay. Why there's a grenade in a bloody hand as the cover of that album. And that was one of, I mean, that was probably, you know, arguably the best rock record of that decade.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that was it. And it was like that mentality really, I realized, because I had a lot of people when I first was like, okay, I'm making a solo record, I'm going to put something together. And a lot of people heard the first few songs off my album and they said, you know, maybe you should just dumb it down a bit. Maybe you should just go back and, you know, You're Going Down was a really big song. Why don't you just write a bunch of songs, sell it out? I just couldn't swallow it. It was like someone trying to shove a pill down my throat that I just couldn't choke
been
on.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even that. Creative. It was like, look, and I found it surprising that I had to logically explain to some people and say, but those songs are already there. I'm going to play them live. People are going to come to my show and get that experience. I'm not going to stop playing You're Going Down until I have better material, you know, and maybe I'll get there one day. But that was a big hit and people love that song. Why would I deny? I'm not going to be that guy who gets up on stage. Oh no, I don't play my old songs. I hate those guys. It's like, I paid my ticket price. Play my fucking hits.
That's
play
right.
The shit I want to hear.
That's right.
I'll play everything you want to hear. You come to the show, I'm playing You're Going Down, Riptide, Odd One, Maybe, all the songs that you want to hear, all the hits, I'm playing them. But that thing where a couple of people tried to tell me, you know, maybe you should just dumb it down and go back. And because they were being logical, they said, we can put you on the, you know, the European festival touring circuit and you can just make money. You go back out there and just start making money. And I said, but I want to make a difference. I mean, you can make money or you can make a difference. And maybe if you try really hard, you could do both. So why don't we try real fucking hard and try to achieve greatness? And the worst thing that happens is I land where you already said I was going to land and you're making some money. But at least let's try. Let's try and create something that's fresh, that sounds like a logical extension of what I did with the puppies, but is just better. It's just fucking better. And the blood that we're talking about that comes from it is me. Honestly, when I realized, I was like, all right, am I going to try and create something great? What does it take? I remembered that quote from my producer back in the day. And I said, all right, well, I got a lot of blood right now that's just waiting to get purged. I got a lot of stuff. I mean, I lost my band, I lost my money, I lost a lot of shit. And I'm like, so do I write an honest record and actually make the music reflect it, or do I just go, oh, I'm so angry right now, grr, rock and roll, you know, like fucking I hate that shit. So I was like, no, I'm going to put my name on it. And the reason the album is called Shim is not, it's partly for branding so that people go, oh, that's the guy from Sick Puppies and his name is Shim. So now we're going to follow Shim and I can recollect all my fans from the puppies. But the other part of it was, I'm like, yo, I'm going to put my fucking dick on the table, on the chopping block. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to put my name on it. You're going to know my name and say, this is how I did it. It's my way or the highway. And that's it.
Right.
And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But at least I gave it everything I had.
You're off to a great start. You put out the debut single, Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Real quick, let's talk Sock Puppets.
I went online and I started looking up bands and I started, was like, it was funny because I booked Rock on the Range, which was the first show that I played as a solo artist. I mean, that's crazy. It's crazy. But it was really validating that the people who do Rock on the Range, they were like, yeah, we know Shim. He's played with the puppies a million times on Rock on the Range.
Yeah,
we'll have him back. And then bang, I got the gig. And I'm like, oh, damn, I guess we're doing this thing. I guess I'm a solo artist now. Then I had to finish the record and make a video clip and I had to put all the shit together. I had 5 months, which is enough time. But I was terrified. I was like, I got to get everything together because I'm playing the biggest festival in America in 5 months. And I was able to get it together. But when the time came to make the music video, I was looking at all of these other bands' music videos on YouTube. And I was like, man, I've done this. I played in the middle of a street. I played on a highway. I played on a mountain. I played in a room with a bunch of lights fucking going around. You know, like, what's different? What's something fresh? And then I stumbled upon Sock Puppet Parody, who do Sock Puppet Parody videos of Slipknot and System of a Down and Rage Against the Machine. And I hit them up and I said, do you guys want to do an official music video?
Okay, so that was...
Oh, it was them.
It was
totally them. And I just reached out to them and I said, here's my idea for a video. It starts with me on the acoustic and there's a little Shim and he comes in and he just takes over the video and he's a prick. He's a prick. He just destroys the stage and then he gets knocked out by, you know, something. I forget what he gets knocked out by, but he goes into a dream state. I made up the whole treatment and they just said, yeah, we can do that. And so I just went down to Dallas and we shot it and boom.
It is absolutely hilarious. If you're listening to us right now, I'm talking the Shim. His debut album is out right now. His debut single was Hallelujah. And now we have Crucified.
Yes. Which, it's very biblical.
Which kind
it's
of,
all very biblical.
It is. Yeah. And I was going to kind of stay clear of that.
No. But you can ask.
But it did, but it also, Crucified kind of took a darker turn with the video.
Yeah.
So before we end up playing Crucified, can we talk a little bit about behind the meaning behind the song, where that came from, and also the video
the
that
music
you chose
video
for that.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because the song originally was written about the fact that once the puppies split, I'm just going to be real, people picked their sides. People picked sides, you know, and the puppies didn't release any music for a while, and I didn't release any music for a while, and there were some people that had a lot of things to say about me that weren't true. And I hadn't done anything. I hadn't even released new music or made a comment. All that happened was the
band.
You
weren't able to make a comment.
No, I wasn't able to comment on any of the band socials. I was locked out of the band socials. But I made my little press release, and then I was like, look, what am I going to do? I mean, we're going to fucking sit here and talk shit about each other for ages? Like, no. Then the only thing that's going to happen if we dig in deeper is that people will no longer be able to listen to the music that we put so much time and energy into correctly. The songs exist on their own. I was lucky enough to sing them. If they then hear my voice and go, oh, I read that stuff, that guy's a prick, you know, just because I was angry one day and shot my mouth off because I was upset, then suddenly people can't listen to my music the same way anymore. I was like, no. But during that time, there were times when, you know, yeah, people were, you know, saying lies, you know, making, they were upset or they were trying to take advantage of the situation. And there was a moment where I realized that the word crucified really just the word, the metaphor for it really resonated, where I was like, I've just been trying to do the best that I can and shit didn't work out. And now I got a whole bunch of people just throwing slings and arrows at me. I was like, what the fuck's up with this? So I wrote that song and it really was. I was like, yo, when I wrote the song, there was no label, no deal, no management, no band. There was nothing going on. But I'd made the decision and I was very determined. And I just said, fucking, you know what? Bring it on. Just fucking keep it coming. Keep it coming. I'm going to find a way to use it. But the video is an interesting thing of, at the same time, you've got, you know, the video is basically, the simple story of the video is me in a hotel room covered in blood, and there's a dead body that's been wrapped up on the hotel bed, and we don't know what the hell happened. And then suddenly a second evil Shim comes in, and he's like the devil, like you got the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. And the devil Shim's basically whispering in my ear saying, you know, you got to get that body in the car and drive it off into the desert, and you've got to dig a hole, we've got to bury this body. And he's like, it's that voice in your head, and it's essentially your self-destructive ego, you know, like that thing, that voice that you hear that says you're not good enough, you can't do it. And so, you know, you follow that voice for a while, but then eventually you have to make a decision of not following that anymore. And some people like, and there's a lot of, I'm very critical of singers. I'm very critical of anyone who gets given a microphone, because I believe that if you have the opportunity and you're privileged enough to be given a microphone, you better have something relevant to fucking say. And you better have something that comes from your experience, not some preachy shit. And my personal experience has been that I've seen some people that talk about, you know, when the dark energy comes and when you're feeling stressed, you just got to turn the other cheek and walk away. And no, sometimes you need to punch someone in the fucking nose. And sometimes you need to knock a bitch out. And sometimes when it comes to your inner voices and your inner demons and your fear and all that sort of stuff, you know, they say like, oh, just switch it off and get zen. Like, no, sometimes you need to grab a shovel, knock that bitch in the back of the head and bury it in the desert and leave it where it belongs to rot, because it's got no use. There's no use for that fear and that voice, that negativity. So sometimes you need to be sometimes you need to be more aggressive and a bit more rock and roll.
And the beauty of that video also is that you took such a dark and balls to the wall attitude and you turned it into something that, I don't want to say it's a comedy, but at the same time, I did chuckle at it, you know what I mean?
But I tell you what, it's very funny that we talk about the Hallelujah video, and it's very fun and funny and freeing in a way.
Right.
And then Crucified's very dark, but the thing that the one thing that the two of those videos have in common is that they're very theatrical.
Yes.
And that's going to be the theme of this. Regardless of the tone and the energy and the message, we're going to go more theatrical than the puppies ever went. It's going to be a lot more fun.
Well, let's take a listen to it right now.
Awesome.
This is Shim off his brand new album. The single is Crucified. It's on iRockRadio.me. iRockRadio.me. That was Crucified from the band Shim. Tell us about the new band and how you hooked up with them.
Well, I'll tell you, I found the band, I cherry picked them. I was very, very specific about what I wanted from the band, and they had to be amazing players. They had to also be amazing people.
Did you have auditions, or did you know them from other bands?
No, I didn't even. I actually at the time, it's funny. I sent out an email via Craigslist on the musicians seeking section as my manager. I was like, I wrote it like I was my own manager, and I played like, former singer of successful rock band, doing solo project, looking for players that can do ABC. And so I got a bunch of submissions, and 98% of the submissions were just not the people that I was looking for, because I was looking for people that A, do not do what I do. Because I do a very specific thing. I play, power chords, and I sing, and I can solo a little bit, but I'm not really a solo guitar player. So I knew I wanted a guy who could shred and tear up the solos, but he had to have more like Hendrix style soul. Okay. I didn't want one of those guys, those shredders. I want someone who can bend way past and sit back on the beat and really, sink into the song and have his own spirit. And the same thing with the bass player. I wanted a bass player because I came from a band with a phenomenal, Emma was, regardless of the way that we ended things together, but I'll still give her credit as she was always an amazing bass player. And bass has always been very important for me in terms of a live show. So I was like, I got to find a badass bass player. A, because I came from a band with a badass bass player, and also because it's very important for the music. You got to have dope bass.
Right.
And so I found Jamie Lewis.
It's all about the bass.
It's all about that bass. And so I found Jamie Lewis. Shout out to Jamie. If you go to thebassist.net, that's his site. He's a YouTuber, and this is a guy that does lessons. Like, he goes out and does tutorials and clinics and all that sort of stuff. Like, this is a bad motherfucker. So I found him because he was subbing in for a friend of mine's gig. And I just was, I was there to see a friend's gig, and I saw Jamie up there with his little red hat on sideways, just tearing it up. He was reading it off his iPad. So he was sight reading an entire show and tearing the bitch up, like just tearing it up. And I saw him and I was like, I think that's my guy. And I went up to him and he was so awkward and so soft-spoken and weird. And I'm like, you're definitely my guy. You are definitely my bass player. So, and then Brian, who's the current drummer, Brian Copps, was recommended by Jamie. And, I had a drummer, Keenan, last year. He wasn't available. He had a child, so he wasn't available for this run. And so Brian came in. We did rehearsal for 2 days. And then he just came out on tour and started tearing it up. And within like 5 shows, the band locked in and we were like, oh, this is the show. It was like the baddest show in rock and roll. I'm lucky because I said, I want to find guys, session musicians, session guys who know how to play. So I can say to them, play it like Hendrix, play it like Victor Wooten, play it like Dave Grohl. And they'll do it. Then I'll be like, play it like Ringo Starr. And then suddenly the beat changes. And I can change the show as to whatever the crowd, because I feel the crowd. And then I can tell the band, hey, let's try something feels like this.
And they follow.
And they
you.
Just follow. Yeah. And I can run the room however I want to do it. And it's been one of the things that was missing from the puppies that I always wanted to get into, which is one of the reasons I feel so happy and free right now, is because I can literally go downstairs and do the gig tonight and make it whatever the hell I want. Any moment I can change it up into whatever the hell I want.
And it's going to be a very intimate setting. So we're in the Lizard Lounge, which is our own special VIP show. Yeah. It's perfect.
That's exactly what I wanted it to be. Yeah. I wanted to come out and do the first headline tour and be like, yo, I want all of the, especially for all the fans of the puppies that have been supporting and following me. But I also wanted to have that one tour where in like 3 years from now, you're going to bump into people and go, yo, I was at that first show. Yeah. I was at that first tour when there was only like 350 people in the room. We'll sell out all these shows, but there's only 350 people in the room, because it's not about the money, and it's about having a great time and making sure people remember, look, this is a rock and roll show. This is not corporate America. This is indie.
Right.
This is indie. This is blood. This is where music. This is real music and how it should fucking be. Because I'm sick of this fucking polished shit. I'm sick of it. Everyone's over it. Everyone knows they're over it, and no one talks about it.
Right.
Like all these fucking bands. Like there's the good bands, all the bands that we know and respect. But then there's all these new bands. I'm like,
so much talent. Where's out the there. So much that the corporate stations don't play?
Yeah.
Because you really only have three major companies anymore. And I know I've worked for them.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been at them and play them, and
I work with
and
them.
You want them to play your stuff again. But you know, I'm just saying, there's a lot of talent out there.
There's a lot of talent out there, and then there's a lot of talent that gets squashed by the labels when they say, well, we need you to sound more like this and like that, so you can fit in this box and that box. Which is why I didn't sign with anyone, because they did it to me. They were like, yo, you got these hits, why don't you just do exactly what you did before? It makes sense to us. And I'm like, doesn't make sense to me, and it won't make sense to my fans.
You're staying true to your
and you have to.
I love hearing that.
Yeah,
and I'm sure a lot of the other people that are listening right now do too. We have three things that we usually try to ask. They're real quick random questions. It's called Three Quickies and Afterthought. All right. So and most of them are multiple choice.
Can I have a drink before we start?
Go ahead.
All right, hold on.
Go ahead. Animation, Family Guy or South Park?
South Park.
Something to give up for a month, either your cell phone or favorite food?
Favorite food. Cell phone. But I would love to drop my phone for a month, but you know you can't, especially when I've got a record out and I've got stuff to do. I wouldn't have known we had an interview. So I'd love to get to the point where I can put my phone down, get to like U2 status, and then you have someone next to you permanently that says, Shim, it's time for that interview.
There you go.
And then you go, okay, cool, I'm ready now. But I didn't need to have my phone because someone else is going, maybe I'll get there. But in the meantime, I don't know how you can. I don't know how you can put your phone down for a month. You can't survive anymore. You can't do it anymore.
Difficult. Especially with, well, all right. Greta Van Fleet, talented or ripoff?
God damn it. Why you got to ask me this shit?
I mean, it's not like we don't play Greta Van Fleet. We do.
Everyone does. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's irritating.
Then recently it's been, first it was, oh wow, they sound like Zeppelin. They're starting a new trend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now it's kind of turning against them. So anyway.
So Greta Van Fleet or?
Yay or nay. Talented or ripoff?
Shit. It's a hard, because I don't like to, but I think that they have talent, but I think they are ripping off Zeppelin. So I don't know what to say about it, because everyone knows they're fucking ripping off Zeppelin. Everyone knows.
So you're walking the fine line.
I'm walking the fence, because you know what? No, but here's my thing. I remember, I want to give him a chance. I want to give him a chance. And the reason I want to give him a chance is because they're putting themselves in the position of possibly being the underdog. They could be, well, everyone thought they were just a Zeppelin ripoff, but then they dropped that new album and it was dope.
Robert Plant endorsed them.
What's he gonna say?
Well, true.
Yeah. So like, but the same thing happened with the puppies with the Free Hugs video. The first viral video ever was the Free Hugs video, and we became the Free Hugs band. And a lot of people were like, "Yo, have you heard about that thing? Yeah, they got a hit video at the moment. They were on, you know, Oprah in 60 Minutes. It's all flash in the pan. They're just riding that Free Hugs wave. Give them a couple of months and they'll be over." And we had to fight and work and eventually prove ourselves. And then we made Tripolar, which had a bunch of hit songs on it, and we proved ourselves. So I think people used to say that shit about me at the beginning and be like, yo, Greta Van Fleet, they're just, you know, Zeppelin ripoffs. Sick Puppies with a Free Hugs band for the first 6 to 8 months of our career, but we overcame it. So I'm gonna give them a chance, and I think it's fair enough to say, look, everyone deserves a chance. Give them a chance. I agree with you. I totally get what everyone's saying. At the same time, they're working their art. People don't understand how hard it is in the rock and roll game. You are eating, you know, fucking canned tuna and oatmeal and Red Bull and living on nothing. And they're getting a taste of success. They figured out how to make it work. Give them a chance.
Let them ride.
Yeah, yeah, give them a chance.
Where they go.
If they come back and they make Zeppelin 2, then fuck them. But if they come back and they do some fresh shit, kids. They're kids.
Yeah.
What are they, fucking 19, 20? I mean, what do you expect?
About that.
See, yeah,
about
what do you that. What do you want? What do you want from a 20-year-old?
I'm impressed by them at that
you
age.
You want a 20-year-old to suddenly drop Sergeant Pepper on your ass? No, give him a minute. Just give him a fucking minute. Give him a chance.
I love talking to this guy.
Yeah. Seriously, what do you expect? So anyway, yeah, that's what I think.
All right. Well, this kind of goes hand in hand almost with you feeling as though you're not necessarily a rock star.
Right.
Okay. So this is the afterthought. And it's funny because this was already put together before we even talked about this.
Okay, all right.
What is the strangest item you ever put on a rider? Even if you weren't trying to be a dick putting it down, but it's still like...
Well, I don't try to be a dick. I don't try to be a dick. It just comes very naturally. I think the weirdest thing... Okay. You know what? I'm actually going to pay props to Emma for this one. There was a moment, okay, all right, this is deferring from your question, but we had a rider And on the rider is a bottle of Jack Daniels or something, right? And so we're at the end of the night, half the bottle's gone. And, you know, a couple of people want to have a couple of drinks. And this place was so fucking disgusting. The showers looked like they were covered in mold and covered in shit. And so Emma came up and she was like, yo, we got in the room, like, I need a bottle of vodka. And we were like, yo, you don't really party. She always kept to herself. And she was like, yo, I need a bottle. So she gets a bottle of vodka and just douses the entire bathroom in vodka. She just drains the whole fucking, disinfects the whole place with vodka because, you know, fuck getting Windex. You know, like she just picks up a bottle of vodka,
or rubbing alcohol,
douses. She literally just walks in the bathroom and just starts spraying vodka all over the fucking shower so she can have a shower in a sanitary condition. And everyone on the crew was like, that is some baller shit. That is a rock star moment.
That's rock star move.
Yeah. So I think that was one of the most outlandish things where we went back to a promoter and were like, yo, we know that, you know, every time you get to a venue, you give them a piece of paper. It says, here's the rider, you know, M&M's, water, scotch, whatever the fuck, you know, all your bullshit. And then at the end of the night, she went back to the promoter and she was like, give me a bottle of vodka now or I'm going to fucking cause a nightmare because your fucking shit is disgusting. And he was like, here's a bottle. And she just went and doused the whole thing and was done. And I was like, that's pretty dope. That's pretty baller. That's pretty dope. That's the best story we have in terms of a rider story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we were off the air and we were playing the song, you told me that you have a podcast.
Yes. Also, I have a weekly podcast. Okay, so check it out. It's called Rockstar 101. It's all one word. So if you type that into wherever you get your podcasts, every week there's a new episode. It's a half-hour podcast. I do it with Brandon from KLAQ down in El Paso, Texas, who's a dear friend of mine. And we basically get together and we pick three topics about music. And we spend 10 minutes talking about each one. It's a half-hour podcast, just enough time for you to get to work in the morning. And then we discuss whatever the hell we feel like, but it is related specifically to music, touring, music production, all things rock and roll related. So go and check it out. It's Rockstar 101. It's all one word.
Rockstar 101.
You type it in there with no spaces and no dashes or any of that fucking bullshit. And then you check it out, find it. And it's something I did so that my fans could have weekly content because I'm so busy on tour and then, you know, making videos and meet and greets and all the stuff that you do when you're on tour. And I realized, you know, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but the ones that I do listen to, I find that they meander. I find that they go on for like, you know, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. And I'm like, let's create something nice and simple. It's tight.
Right.
That where people can just check it out once a week so that anyone who's a fan of mine has something new every week because the songs are already out. You know, so if you want to get a new weekly piece of content, check it out. Rockstar 101.
Rockstar 101.
That's it.
All right. And what about your socials?
Go to my website. It's called shimmusic.com. That's S-H-I-M music.com. If you go there, all the links to my socials are right up on the top corner. Okay. You go and you click all those links, you're going to follow my socials and you find out everything that we're doing.
Again, if you see the tour coming through, we are talking to Shim and he's got his debut album out. Second single is Crucified.
And we are in the process of booking the next tour and the next tour, which is why it's very important to go to shimmusic.com because all the tour dates are up there. Sign up to the mailing list and we'll let you know as soon as we're coming to town.
We'll have everything updated there.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
Again, Shim, thank you very much for joining us.
My man, thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Excellent. Thanks, mate.